more. Ooh,
yeah. Now here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All right. Hour number three. It's Extra 1360 with you till 3 p.m. John and Rich coming up a little later on today. We're presuming that Rich will be in the house. That his massive ego will fit through the doorway since he was a guest on the Colin Cowherd show a little bit earlier today. I hope that Rich Ornberger's ego will fit through the door here at Extra 1360, the iHeartRadio building in Sara Mesa, California. We're with you up until about 2:45 or so, the Fusion coming up here in a little bit. So we started the show talking about Monday Night Football. I think it was the most anticipated game of the week. For those of us that, objectively speaking, looked at the slate of NFL games and said, you can only watch one. Which one is it going to be? An impactful first-place showdown, AFC East on Monday night. I know Marty's ready to pounce and tell me that it's the Lions.
Last-second touchdown.
But it was the Patriots and the Bills, the build-up to the game.
I mean, if you're going to judge by post-game locker room celebration, did they even have one yesterday? I don't think the Patriots had one. And you saw the jubilation from Detroit. It was amazing. Players were dancing and high-fiving and hugging and crying. Clearly, much bigger win.
If you say so. Only in warped NFL logic does that apply. It might be true. I'm the outsider in this conversation. But that was good. That was fun. And as I said earlier, I don't have any real rooting interest in all of this. But that was one of the most memorable games of this season. I'm trying to think what even would be second. Maybe it would be the Lions. Maybe we had two of the most memorable games from this past weekend. The Lions beating the Vikings. And then last night, Monday Night Football, with the Patriots running the football for 222 yards compared to 99 for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Outgained in the air, what was it, like 131-19 or something like that. Mac Jones, your boy, threw three times last night, completed two of those passes for 19 yards. Threw the ball three times. And you know what I kept thinking to myself while I'm watching this? I would have paid. And I'm guaranteeing that such a thing exists, what I'm about to tell you. I'm guaranteeing that such a thing exists. I would have given anything. You know how often I say I'd like to be involved with more group texts? Right, we talk about group text. I need some better group text to be
yes,
a part of. No offense to you guys.
No, it's fine. You know, I don't really do your texts.
No, I know. I know. Jim and I. Yeah, but it's Jim and I. Every once in a while, Marty gets looped in. But you know who must have had a killer group text last night? Rocky Long and Brady Hoke.
That was their dream game.
That was the dream game for them. And they probably sat there last night watching this and going, man, what
that's
an inspiration.
Football.
This is what we're talking about right here. I got to listen to these idiots on the local radio talk about how deficient we are at the quarterback position. Well, look at the greatest coach in football history out there having his quarterback throw the ball three times. Well, why? We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to show our team this film. We don't even need a quarterback anymore. But if I had, been granted one wish last night, it would have been, why couldn't I just be on the group text with Rocky Long and Brady Hoke, and maybe Danny Gonzalez was part of that one as well. Just hearing them go back and forth about how much they wish they were the coach of that team in that type of game.
That is right.
Because if they could do that every single week, I guarantee you they would do that every single week.
That's going to be the recipe. So the next time that you talk out loud, or perhaps you talk to Brady Hoke or anybody else about, you know, hey, maybe nice just to see a quarterback there for you, a big arm. They're going to point to that. I just wonder how many coaches, like, you know what? That's the recipe going forward. You don't have to have your... Don't outthink it. You don't have to have your quarterback do too much. You can win up front.
Quarterback. What's a quarterback for? You could have put any stiff back there. Anybody could have done what Mac Jones
did
last
night. You forgot one more person in that group text. You would need to get an offensive lineman.
Right.
Because every O-lineman loved that game.
Right. Mike Goff. Yeah. Mike Goff. Goff on Absolutely. The group text 100%. As well. How great would that group text have been last night from these guys? Just sitting going, I hope he never throws. I hope he never throws the football. I don't care what all these nerds are saying on Twitter. I hope he never throws. Don't throw it, Mac Jones. Don't do it, Belichick. Don't. Just keep doing what you're doing here. Just keep pounding the rock, baby. Put the extra linemen in there. They had like six linemen for most of the game last night, the Patriots did. It really was something to watch, I will admit. I've always said one of my favorite plays in football, and I'm not one of the old school guys. I do like watching Patrick Mahomes sling it around. Who doesn't like watching that? I love watching Aaron Rodgers play football. Tom Brady. So, you know, passing yardage, especially in 2021 over the last decade and a half or so, it's a different dynamic than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I think it's good. People seem to like it. People embrace it. People watch it on television, so it's a good thing. But I do love 4th-and-1. 4th-and-1 to me, no gimmicks, no bootlegs, none of that sort of junk. 4th-and-1 from like 10 years ago, Steelers and Ravens. Mm-hmm. Ray Lewis, right? Like Ben Roethlisberger. 4th-and-1 where everybody knows, everybody on planet Earth knows, it's like, dude, we're going right there for that piece of real estate. That's what we're all about. Niners and Seahawks from like a decade ago, they would do a lot of this stuff as well with Pete Carroll. And it would just be... It would be so impactful at the point of attack. Like 4th-and-1 was just an incredible, incredible play. And it had a little feel to that last night where the Patriots essentially could have just yelled out what the play was. Hey, guess what? Yeah. We're going to run left. We're going to run around the end over there. Okay, we'll try. And the Buffalo Bills were not equipped, and they had problems. You know, they did. They knew what plays were coming, unless they were constantly prepared for a play-action fake. They knew essentially what was coming based on personnel. And it was tough for them to stop the Patriots. It was tough. And I thought that was a great... That's one where even Belichick postgame, I stuck around and watched Van Pelt because I wanted to watch Belichick. I wanted to hear what he had to say. Normally you'd go, why would you spend any of your time listening for Belichick? I wanted to hear what it was that he had to say last night. And he certainly seemed very, very relieved. Not relieved, he just seemed very, I don't know, proud. Proud of the performance, proud of the team. Now, of course, today... In the hot take vortex, this turns into a referendum on Mac Jones. I'm sure Jim Russell woke up today going, three times. They don't even like that quarterback.
No trust in Mac Jones.
But that's if your Golden State Warriors can win a basketball game and Steve Kerr tells Steph Curry, don't shoot through a corner, let's go drive to the rim, and he doesn't shoot any threes in a game, and that's the way you win a basketball game, then I think everybody would sign up for it. It still is about winning, right? Isn't it? I think it is.
I think it's about not trusting the weather. Like, did you see how windy the wind gusts?
The kickoff was like 90 yards in the air.
That was insane. So I don't think it's about not trusting Mac Jones. It's about you can't trust the elements. And if you've got a running game like that can impose its will, one of the best and a running game and a great defense, why not have that? I love that. I'm just wondering, it's like, think about all the conversations we had about is the Patriots dynasty, was that more about Belichick or more about Brady? When you see a game like that,
Belichick.
He loved that game. That might be the most favorite game he's ever coached in his life.
Yeah.
So you want Tampa Bay?
You think
versus...
it's Brady? No. Look what I can do. Look what I can do.
Yeah.
I don't even need a quarterback to win a football game. That's how good a coach I am.
He did not need a quarterback last night.
No.
You did not need a quarterback. Again, like I said, Brady, Hulk, Rocky Long probably had themselves quite the group text. That was probably something else last night. I wish I was a part of that. Now, there was this interesting moment after the game where a couple of the Buffalo Bills players, who were still wearing their pads, by the way.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you, these guys are fresh off the field on a cold, on a windy night in Western New York, where it's a different kind of cold than it is in other places in the world. It's not a type of cold that I ever want to experience again. I'm going to New York. I'm going to New York City upcoming this weekend. It's a different cold than what you get out there in Western New York. Totally different. But a couple of these Buffalo players were up there, and I bring up the fact that they're in pads because they didn't have time to shower. They didn't have time to get dressed. They're still clearly living through the emotions of the game. They just lost a game on Monday Night Football, a game where they had to play in elements, even for Buffalo Bills players, that are pretty unique, I mm-hmm. think. You know, they embrace it. Certainly their goofball fans embrace it with all the stuff they do jumping off the back of these pickup trucks. I still don't understand it. But ESPN's promoting it, showing these guys doing flips and backflips off the back of flatbed trucks on the folding tables. What is that? Anybody have any explanation for that?
I mean, I have a truck, and I have a folding table. Literally the exact folding tables they jump on and off of, but I...
You do?
I do have that.
We used to broadcast from that table.
Yes.
We should reenact that.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll go ahead and we'll break in the new the tailgating lot at Snapdragon Stadium, Darren. Perhaps that will be our first venture. Like, you know what? Let's go ahead and replicate this moment.
It's like WWE stuff in the backyard. It's just like Jackass type stuff.
Like, have you ever tried jumping through one of those tables?
No.
I never have either.
It never occurred to me.
It just seems kind of idiotic.
Yeah.
I don't.
Like, what if it doesn't break? You're just...
Some of them don't.
I know.
And then people light themselves on fire and do all this stuff. I don't know what's going on up there.
What? It's so stupid.
I don't know. I guess it's good advertising for the NFL, though, because ESPN was promoting this stuff. ESPN was coming back from commercial break and showing you what was going on in the parking lot during the tailgates. So it's not like you had to just search through social media to find it. ESPN was promotional of this behavior.
Jump through a table for fun.
Jump, like do a backflip off the back of a pickup truck.
Light yourself
into
on fire.
Folding table. Anyway, so a couple of Buffalo Bills players are there post-game. And who are these players? I know I should know the names. I would recognize them.
Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer.
Yeah, they're two safeties.
Okay. Two safeties. Mm-hmm. Again, it's important to know that these guys are still wearing their pads.
Right.
One of them's in full uniform with his jersey on and his shoulder pads on. The other one's just got his shells on. And they were asked. Now, I'm curious. I haven't asked Jim or Marty. We haven't talked about this as a show. But all of us have been a part of press conferences. Some of us have been a part of Zoom press conferences.
Oh, yes.
Some of us have been part of real press conferences. We've all asked questions, and we've all got interesting responses from players and coaches alike. We can all share some of these stories afterwards. Mm-hmm. But let's play the audio. So this is Buffalo losing 14-10 last night, Monday Night Football. The division is slipping through their fingers. Their window of opportunity might be closed after 1 year. Seriously, it might be.
Feels like it. It might be. It feels like it.
They lose at home to the hated Buffalo Bills. Nobody knows if they threw a... I was told after the show yesterday, by the way, it's called a bildo. A bildo, what you throw on the field.
Bildo. Okay.
Yes, a Buffalo bildo.
That come through in the text line?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
I'm going to take that and accept that as fact.
Okay. A purple bildo.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't know that they weren't throwing bildos on the field. But they knew. They were rushing the football. And there was history here. History was made last night. Nobody... They were really researching hard to find out when the last time it was that a winning team had three pass attempts in a game. They kept saying, well, it's at least 1977. They were scrounging. They were just going through the record books trying to figure out the last time that an NFL team had three passing attempts in a football game that resulted in a victory for that team. And they still were searching through the record books in the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center last night. It had been a really long time. It's been a really long time since a team won a football game with those kind of statistics. That kind of lopsided breakdown, rushing attempts versus passing attempts. So one of the reporters from Buffalo asks these two players, fresh off the football field, asked if they were embarrassed to lose this football game.
It's been over 40 years since a team has won a game running that two times in a game, passing that two times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. I mean, the nation's going to be criticizing you for calling it so. I'm asking.
Keep that. Yeah, we're
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. We'll remember that. I'll remember that.
All right. Apparently, the reporter's name is Jerry Sullivan. I've never heard of Jerry Sullivan. Maybe he shows up on Marty's timeline. And he doesn't show up on mine.
He does not.
But I guess he covers the Buffalo Bills, and you couldn't really hear the question. And I, even with headphones, I don't know that I can get exactly every single word that this reporter asked to these two players, these two defensive players, after this emotional loss at home against Buffalo. But what he said is, it's been 40 years since a team with these kind of statistics actually won a football game. Is that embarrassing? Is that embarrassing to you guys as the players who were on the field while the Patriots were running for 222 yards, including a 60-plus yarder? Like, there was one really, really long run broken off for a touchdown in the game itself. And they're like, bro, what are we doing here? I don't get it. What are we doing here, bro? And he's like, well, listen, people around the country, and of course, you know, people are saying, everybody's favorite form of journalism.
Yeah, on the Twitter.
People are saying that this is embarrassing for you guys. And they're like, try to explain it. What did you think? You've been in a million of these press settings before, more so than any one of us, more so than Jim and I combined. It's a loaded word. When you lead them down the path of, is this embarrassing
for
you?
Yeah, that wasn't a...
You want them to say, like, yes, we're embarrassed.
You wanted exactly that response that you got. And I know nothing about him. And he wrote a column about how the Buffalo Bills are soft. And the way they answered that question is proof that they're soft. But I just feel like the way that he designed the question, he wanted to provoke an answer. That's exactly. That was like an agenda-driven sort of. There's a way to ask it,
but
man.
Isn't that always the truth with questions you always want an answer?
Yeah, but you. I mean, you want an answer. You don't want. Well, hey, man, we're just taking it one play at a time, and we're. You don't want that. You want an honest answer. But and I do. You're right. I don't know this reporter at all. I mean, maybe he has that rep of always trying to like kind of be a bit of an a-hole,
like a troll.
Yeah, like a troll. But it's just like in a loss like that. That was a well played game, and I don't. This isn't on the defense.
They didn't lose like 34-7.
There's much more fault on Josh Allen's receivers failing him in some key spots, and then I put this on the defense. So I just think the way he asked, are you embarrassed by this? I just like.
They should have been like, yeah, we held Mac Jones to 19 passing yards.
Yeah. Let's look at the glasses half full.
Right.
But, the history was that no team had won a football game
mm-hmm.
with these kind of statistics in 40 years, at least, that research were able to determine. Now, didn't you ask, I don't want to say something similar.
It was Machado.
But you had a moment with Machado
yeah.
where you asked something that we talked about on the radio.
I actually want to go back and find that question. I was thinking about that, too, when we were playing this, because I did ask him. I mean, like the... But it wasn't like the result of one game. It was like a miserable stretch about, and I need to go back and find that answer because you're right. I did ask Machado, but, and he gave a lot, listen, a lot of times he talks in cliches, long answers, talks in cliches, but he gave of course we're upset or of course we're embarrassed. I think I did ask something, but not based on what happened in that game. It was like they had gotten shut out.
They lost like 10 straight.
Yeah. It was just during a miserable stretch.
Yeah,
like
you said something about guys in the clubhouse, are they embarrassed?
Yeah.
I don't know that you used that word, but I remember us discussing that on the air, that back and forth. And I thought it was a good question, and I thought it was a good answer from Machado.
Yeah.
Because he sort of snapped back. He's like, I don't need to answer that question.
Right.
You know the answer to that.
Right.
Seemingly confirming whatever it was that you were saying. It's always an interesting dynamic because obviously... Media is in an interesting spotlight in 2021. One thing that is consistent, regardless of politics or fandom, is people are inclined to hate media.
Yeah, especially
I hate
these
that's true, but it does very much feel like it's true. And the media becomes one of these sort of generic terms for a lot of people to bang on. Even Colin Cowherd today was banging on this when I was driving into work, which is funny because, you know, Colin, he was... standing up for players, saying that, you know, you can't attack players. I'm like, wait a second. I listen to this show. I hear what he has to say about Tua Tagovailoa.
Wait a second.
Aaron Rodgers.
You forgot Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott. I mean, it's interesting he had that take today. But okay, it's his show. We're not going to spend a ton of time on that. I don't love the question. Just so we get to our... I don't love that. Because I do feel like, you know, that's a trigger word. That is a word when you say, are you embarrassed?
Yeah.
It's almost accusatory. Like, and if you're not embarrassed, the follow-up sounds like it should be. Well, how can you not be? Because it sort of was the follow-up of, hey, like, people are talking about this and they think that you guys were embarrassed. Hey, it ain't easy, man. When you get dominated by the New England Patriots and you finally feel like ding-dong, the witch is dead because Tom Brady's out of town and they have a subpar season during COVID, then all of a sudden they come roaring back and they beat you in your building. Got to be a frustrating thing, doesn't it? Probably a pretty frustrating thing. Frustrating for players, frustrating for coaches, frustrating for fans, probably even frustrating for media that's supposed to be unbiased, but we all know that's not the case. That's what the Patriots have done to people. That's what they've done to people for 20 years. That's what they've done to everybody. Didn't love the question.
No, but I just felt like the way, I don't know, man.
I also think I've heard a lot worse questions than that. And I think everybody will be okay. But you can tell these two players, still there, wearing their uniforms or some semblance of their uniforms, following that one where it feels like it's slipping through their fingers.
Yeah,
you can understand the entire dynamic of it. Were they soft last night? I mean, man, there were drives where the Patriots were just doing what they wanted to do. So
only 14 points, though.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the weather thing, but you give up 14 points. Mac Jones throws for 19 yards, 220 yards rushing. Yeah, it's a lot. But you only gave up 14 points.
Yeah. And your offense scored 10.
Yeah.
And looked like it had a tough time. boy, the whole throwing into the wind, not throwing into the wind situation, kicking into the wind, not kicking into the wind. Some of the visuals there from Orchard Park, New York last night were amazing. Really was. It was really one of the more memorable games of the season. Glad I watched it.
Most memorable primetime game or overall game?
Good point, because this happens during Red Zone at 10 o'clock in the morning. Who knows, right? Who knows? But that it's a standalone, I think, added to it.
Yeah, because the game I think of immediately is Cincinnati and Green Bay when they went to overtime and the kickers kept on missing field goals.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking also about Dallas and Tampa to start the season. That was a really good game, too.
That was really good.
Feels like a million years ago.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was just intriguing. You know, it didn't look like every other game. It stood out. Right? It stood out. And I love Big 12 football, and I love slinging around football. I do. I like that sort of stuff. But that one last night, that had great appeal. That had great appeal. Not just because we're watching the greatest coach who's ever lived just rebuild this sucker and make everybody feel very nervous. I just was looking at some of the odds here, Super Bowl odds. Mm-hmm. For 2021, where they currently stand. Are you ready for it? Who do you think the favorite is to win the Super Bowl in 2021?
To win the Super Bowl? Packers.
You guys want another guess?
Okay, Patriots.
Want another guess? No. Close.
Cowboys?
No. Come on. You guys are...
Oh, Tampa.
Yes. Tampa is your current favorite to win the Super Bowl. Followed by Kansas City and New England, then Arizona and Green Bay, then Buffalo.
Then Buffalo. Wow. It's a big, you know, this Sunday, man.
Then Buffalo and Dallas, I should say, tied at 10-1.
I'll tell you this. There's a game this Sunday that I think at least preseason probably had early Super Bowl preview matchup written all over it. Bills and Bucks. Sunday.
So Patriots, Bucks, Super Bowl. No,
probably not.
I mean,
no, I think right. If I
the network's heads would explode.
Who's got Super Bowl this year?
Ah, man,
who's got Super Bowl?
I think Fox.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think it's Fox.
And let's see. Let me just see. Patriots have a bye, so they could pick up ground without even playing.
Yeah.
If Tampa Brady beats Buffalo, which he's done a time or two in his life,
like undefeated against.
Imagine
them
if he doesn't. How much better did this win just get for?
For whom?
For Belichick.
Oh, if he doesn't?
If he doesn't.
Like, I beat that team, but you can't.
I think he'd rather Tom. He's been talking Tom up already, talking about him being the greatest football player in the history of the game.
He doesn't believe that, does he?
He just wants him to be the greatest football player in the history of the game this week against Buffalo. Yeah. Pick up another half. Shout out to Darnay Tripp from NBC7 who texted in and said that NBC is carrying the Super Bowl this year.
Oh.
Al Michaels and Collinsworth.
Great.
Might be Al's final Super Bowl.
I was just thinking that.
I have like no insider info on that. Just saying it might be.
Isn't he like 77 years old?
Is he?
I think so. Blame it on the rain. Huh?
And Al going out in a home game at SoFi Stadium
because
he's an LA guy?
Yeah.
Been traveling a little bit less. I wonder. And I have no reason. I'm not trying to ship Al off into retirement.
No.
I still think he's very good.
He's 77 years old.
I heard that.
Okay.
Tirico's like, come on, Al. Let's go.
No, I also read, though, that Amazon Prime, which will host all the rights to Thursday night games next year, that they're trying to hire away Al Michaels and pair him with Troy Aikman.
Poof. Fox?
So they would leave NBC and Fox, respectively?
Yeah.
Then who would replace
that? Because that's going to be exclusive.
But
like,
how are
no
we going
more...
to talk about television ratings for a Thursday night game when everybody's streaming it? I don't get it.
Right? They need to show the ratings.
Your favorite topic? There's nothing you love more than ratings talk.
Well, I mean, a lot of NFL people love pleasuring themselves to these numbers, but it's just that it's not the whole story anymore.
Right.
It used to be the whole story. It's not the whole story anymore. There are less people. This is just statistically accurate. There are less people that are watching over the air television, broadcast television than ever before. And number decreases every day. So we're not, I don't know what we're really learning about that anymore.
I know.
But I mean, a lot of money does move around as a result of television ratings. So it's not like they're irrelevant. They're just becoming less relevant every minute. But they're very relevant here today. You know, one thing we didn't get to yesterday, and I suppose we can save the segment for the end of the year. But it was reported over the weekend, right, that Ben Roethlisberger has been telling teammates.
Yes, privately, like he knows, like this is it.
This is it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this is the end for me. This is my final season. I don't expect to be back. And if he's not going to be back there, he's not going to be back, right? He's not going to go play a season someplace else.
No.
Where's he going to go? Cleveland?
Come on.
No.
He played at Miami of Ohio. Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, I told this story, I think, last week when Fitzy was on. I remember Fitzy being like, hey, here's a cell phone number for a guy I just interviewed. His name is Ben Roethlisberger. He's the best quarterback, perhaps, in the U.S., in college football. He plays at this tiny school called Miami of Ohio. Here's his cell phone number. You should have him on the show. He's a really good guest. And I said, Fitzy, like, I was producing a different show at the time. I was producing the Scott and BR show.
Wow.
I was like, I can't sell these guys on talking to this no-name quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
And even though you knew the Chargers were in the market for...
And we weren't even at that point.
Oh, really?
We weren't even at that point. Plus, you know, they had their whole relationship with Breeze.
Pitching
them on some college quarterback from a MAC school probably wouldn't have been
like great. If you were going to pitch them like on a bigger name, which would have been like Eli Manning,
maybe.
Then maybe because the Manning, the resume, that's the name you
but
know.
But we're also
you
talking
could do
like
that.
2003. No, I don't even think we were to the point where we were talking about drafting Drew Brees' replacement.
Oh wow,
which was a very sore subject been, for those guys. No, as you might know.
No, I could see that. So I'm guessing. So you never called the number.
Never called him. Wow. I mean, I could probably give you his old number if you want.
Oh, I would love
it'd be
fun
that. Fun to call and be like, hey, is Ben there?
Hey, listen.
Isn't he still at the same number? No way, but imagine if he did.
Philip does. Allegedly.
But when he does hang it up.
Yes.
That will close a chapter.
Oh, yeah.
For what maybe is the best draft of this century.
The 2004 class. Kidding me? The Hall of Famers, that draft class. J.P. Losman was also in that draft, too,
Hall
wasn't
of
he?
Famers, plural.
Oh, yeah.
So was Matt Schaub, by the way.
Matt Schaub. Yeah. Wow.
Isn't he was a very serviceable backup. He might be... Starting this week for the Jets, I don't know. Might still be in the league.
I think Zach Wilson.
Larry Fitzgerald was in that draft.
Larry Fitzgerald. Wow. But that will close
a
chapter.
Right there. No, you have at least easily.
Sean Taylor.
Easily five Hall of Famers in the top 10. Easily.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the best quarterback draft of a century, potentially. Now, you know, you can argue that you know, we talked a little bit about this with Burrow and Herbert and where that might be going. But who knows? That's a long ways away, everybody. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the 2004 draft class.
Wow.
Eli Manning, two Super Bowls. Roethlisberger's been to 3-1, two of them. Rivers didn't quite get there. Just for kicks and giggles, let me just toss a couple of these out. I mean, at least one of these guys is going to the Hall of Fame. Marty, you could argue for all three of them, I think.
Absolutely.
Oh. Career touchdowns. Rivers, sixth. Roethlisberger, eighth. Manning, ninth. Career yardage, Rivers, fifth. Roethlisberger, sixth. Manning, ninth.
Wow.
Quarterback rating, Rivers, all time, 12th. Roethlisberger, 14th. Completed passes, Roethlisberger, fifth. Rivers, sixth. Manning, ninth. I mean, now, you can say stats are stats, and you know, you could take your stats and stick them in your tailpipe. Mm-hmm. But these guys are in the top 10. All three of these guys are in the top 10. Of so many different passing categories, career, all time. And say what you want about the generation. They came up in a different generation than others. You'd be absolutely right to point that out. But it is pretty amazing to think about that. That when Roethlisberger decides, that's a wrap for me, you got Rivers coaching high school football, Eli, who's on ESPN2 every once in a while, and Roethlisberger will finish that conversation. That's pretty remarkable to go back and think about that. For those that have been part of those conversations where we were constantly comparing one to one, and Roethlisberger was the one that not a lot of us really thought about. That conversation was about Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, right? Because they were traded for one another.
Yeah.
People here to this day still have those conversations, believe it or not. Roethlisberger, if you knew now what you would have known then, you will always wonder how history could have been different. If you would have just rearranged the order of those three quarterbacks with the three teams that selected them, right? What if Rivers had gone to Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger had come to San Diego, and Manning had ended up...
Had gone anywhere else, he would have won rings.
And all three of them were worthy of a number one overall pick, in hindsight, when you think about it, right?
I'm looking at that draft class right now, like the top 10, as to why you didn't ever call Roethlisberger for the Scott and BR show back in the day. Because I think... Actually, not for Scott, for Billy. Billy wanted Robert Gallery, right?
I want a gallery.
You want a gallery because you wanted to go ahead. You wanted Rivers. Offensive line.
I said, get Breeze in offensive line.
Yeah.
And you figured Robert Gallery was a can't-miss left tackle.
You were from Iowa.
You
were always very... You have always been consistently passionate on the tackle. Protect your quarterback, man. Yes. Fortify the guy.
It's important.
Yeah, it's very important.
Especially, you know, you've got a first-round pick in LaDainian Tomlinson. Wow. You got the first pick of the second round in Breeze. Why not just protect these guys? But then once they drafted Rivers, I was quickly Team Rivers. Get Breeze out of here.
Gosh, this has been a very nostalgic show.
Well,
like we've gone back in time to remember this and remember
John
this happened.
Lynch
and remember when John Jones Jr.,
and...
he blew you off because Bill Belichick said you can't talk to those people in San Diego anymore. And then I couldn't get Scott Murkowski's brother on the show because the Patriots said no. And then Junior Seau had to get permission. I mean, it's just remarkable. We're going back in time.
It's a stroll down memory lane, Marty, because I have to go and try to replace a cooktop today and I might electrocute myself. So. It could be my last show.
Really?
Yes.
A cooktop.
I'm taking it upon myself to install a cooktop.
How interesting.
At my old place.
Oh, well.
Wish me well.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It involves electricity and breakers. And
it's like kind of damp outside.
I don't know. I just saw that with Roethlisberger, and I'm always reminded of those conversations all throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
That forever we would have. I mean, it still is a relevant conversation. Because I bet you could ask 10 different people. And somebody would say Rivers, and somebody would say Manning, and somebody would say Ben Roethlisberger.
Like who was the best quarterback of that? Yeah.
At this point, it's just a personal preference, I think.
Not better career, but better best quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know that any one of them would trade their careers for the others.
Probably not. And well,
I mean, maybe Rivers. Rivers would be the only one that you'd have to think about, but he'd never tell you.
No, he would never. He would maybe in a private moment, but you know what the other two have is... They have the rings.
Well, they came from better franchises.
They came from stable franchises.
Yep. Anyway, just seeing that makes you think about it. That you know, you're seeing, you're essentially watching over the next 6-7 weeks. You're seeing the end of that.
The end of one of the greatest quarterback classes of all time.
Yeah, certainly of this century.
No, it is, and it's just you never know. Remember a couple of years ago, we thought it was a class that produced Baker Mayfield. Think about the quarterback that class. Five in the top 10. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, who's now career backup, and then who am I forgetting? Who's the next guy?
Somebody who's already out of the game.
Yeah. And who's
Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, forget it.
You know, we've had so many of these kind of Wentz and Jared Goff.
Think about RG3 and Andrew Luck and the argument that happened there.
Yeah.
And now, which makes... Longevity is important, which makes that draft class I hope for even more remarkable.
These guys are in like the top 10, 15 of every major NFL passing statistic.
Mac Jones or Trey Lance.
Drive.
Warning.
Roger, ignition engaged.
The countdown is on.
3, 2, 1.
Come on.
It's time for... The Fusion.
All right, John Schaefer, Rich Ornberger, they got you coming up here at the top of the hour. It's time for the loose cannons. I see Rich is still outside.
Yeah, he's out there. I'm in here.
Taking a victory lap. iHeartRadio's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas podcast. What happened?
Marty dropped a bottle.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas podcast takes a tradition to the next level as we invite the biggest stars in music entertainment to share their own reading of this most festive Christmas poem. You can hear Elton John, Carrie Underwood, Michael Bublé, and dozens more read the timeless Christmas classic in state-of-the-art 3D audio accompanied by brilliant animation. Open a free iHeartRadio app, search 'Twas the Night Before Christmas podcast, or say, Alexa, play 'Twas the Night Before Christmas on iHeartRadio. As a matter of fact... Be quiet in your house. Let me do this for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Alexa, play 'Twas the Night Before Christmas on iHeartRadio.
There are so many people who are mad right now. Because, like, there's a sleeping baby in the other room or something.
That's right.
Like, no, no, Alexa, please don't.
Well, be sure to text your complaint to John and Rich. 70470, first word of the text XT. All right. Give them other things that you'd like him to say. To your Alexa.
Yeah.
Or to
somebody
else's Alexa. Do you guys do this when you go to somebody else's house? We have friends who always do this.
I don't do that.
They're always like, hey, Alexa, put extra large condoms on the shopping list.
That is about to also get us some text messages.
Yes. And get someone in trouble, maybe, potentially.
All of a sudden, extra large condoms start showing up on our listeners' houses. And they're like, what the hell? Who ordered these? And meanwhile, they were in the bathroom while you said it.
Yeah. Right. Extra large condoms on the Costco list. What? That's the kind of humor that my immature friends and I engage in.
That's fantastic. That's
invite me over to your house. Who knows what you'll find on your list.
We have an Alexa, and I can't wait to see what shows up.
All right. Is it operational right now? Is it within earshot of our show?
No.
Otherwise, you might have some extra large condoms coming your way.
Yeah. They'll go.
They'll go to good use.
Like, what do you got, neighbors?
No, I mean trash bag liners.
So what's happening?
Nothing.
John, what do you think?
Yeah.
Alexa in your house?
We don't have Alexa. I have Google Home.
Okay.
My one issue with Google Home, I would say, is that sometimes I'll talk to Google Home downstairs and Google Home upstairs will reply.
Interesting.
So I'll be like, hey, turn on Dave Matthews Band. And that starts playing upstairs.
Yeah, I know.
And I wasn't even that loud.
Into that also.
You do the same thing.
Yeah.
So that would be my one issue. Otherwise, I like the products in general. I mean, they're super easy. I probably don't use it as much as I could, but I do like them. Like, if you're in the kitchen, I think it's a good product. Just say, hey, turn some music on. I'm cooking something or preparing something or on my feet doing dishes, you know? Otherwise, I use my phone. I mean, my phone is so readily available that I'm able to use it 95% of the time. But if I'm doing dishes or something like that, then I like it.
I'm excited for it to, like, become your whole screen. We have a
Right.
We have a TV we just bought that we're going to move. So I don't know if you guys have this too, but like when my dad comes into town, wherever he sleeps, whatever room he's in, there needs to be a TV. Like he's just the type of person who falls.
My mom.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So they were staying in my son's room. Our son was staying in our room during their visit, and they were staying for weeks. So for sure, like we're like, all right, we're going to move one of the televisions outside under the awning and we're going to put a cover over it because it's getting old anyway. So we don't care if it craps out in weather and it's good weather in Southern California. And then we're going to move this other TV we just bought into the living room. And I think it's a TV you can talk to. Like if you press a button on the remote, like say, turn on Monday Night Football and it's going to turn it on, which is awesome. I can't wait until like you can talk to televisions and not have to, you know, even touch the remote like that, you know, your whole house is automated like that. Then it's really going to feel like we're living in the future.
Roku remotes, which I have, have two cool features, in my opinion. One, you can hold a button down and speak like if you're in YouTube TV, change to ABC.
Yeah.
And it'll move it to ABC. The other feature I really like with a Roku remote is you can plug in headphones. Kristen was doing this last night. And you can just plug in headphones and watch television through the remote.
You're going to have your mind blown right now if you haven't done it. Because I have one of our TVs is a Roku TV. Download the Roku app.
You can do the same thing.
And
I have that. That's
and
how
so,
she
like,
did
you
it. Yeah.
Use the remote. You never have a remote
AirPods.
Control. Yeah,
and then you can be like wireless. And you're just she's watching this. TV, but
you're listening to what you want to listen
exactly,
to.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Huh. We just got a bunch of smart plugs.
Okay.
Yeah, these are cool too.
What do those do for you?
So you can control whatever you have plugged into that outlet from your phone.
Gotcha.
Right? Yeah.
And through Alexa. So, hey, Alexa, turn on the Christmas tree.
Oh, that's really cool.
Christmas tree pops on.
So not just
hey, Alexa,
bulbs.
Turn on the outside lights.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Super,
I like it.
Super fancy stuff.
It's really cool. I mean, these are the things that we were promised when we were kids. I'm still waiting on my jetpack. Like, I'm excited one day to not have to walk around anymore where my legs are just limp, wet noodles that are just flopping around and I'm just jetpacking from one place to another. When that happens, then I'll die a happy man. But for right now, it's pretty cool. You know
what makes me happy?
What?
That you showed up here today.
That I'm here.
That after your Colin Cowherd appearance today, you're still hanging around all of the little people like us.
I could slum it too. I have no problem.
Slum it.
I like, you know, I'll go to a fancy dinner, but I'll also go to a dive bar right after.
Wait,
I don't
mind. Was this radio and TV?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're just radio now.
We were zooming.
Okay.
We were zooming.
Okay. I like that he plays that weird music when he brings guests on.
Oh yeah, it's from the old
something.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the global Cowherd
network or whatever. Network, yeah.
Yeah, I like that he plays that.
That's
it's so hokey.
That's
that
leftover from
ESPN.
From it's like news talk, or when sports talk and news had the same like signal, and they would switch over. It's like here's the breaking news. It's like you would have like that a very official sounder. And then it would be a quick news blip before they came back over to programming. And so he uses it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind it.
That's like your red light. When that goes on, you know you're on the herd.
Yeah, it's time. Now it's time to put on Rich on air mode. Which
now, when did you get booked for that show?
Way
how does that
different
work?
Than Rich off the air. What's that?
When did you get booked for that show?
This morning.
So he booked you. They said, hey, let's call Orenberger.
Yeah.
We could talk about Patriots run game, right? Guy knows a thing or two about that.
Yeah. I woke up this morning, and while I was feeding my six-year-old breakfast, I got a text from his producer.
Well, he doesn't call?
Yeah, you should be like, I'll do it if Colin calls.
Or if Joy calls.
He gave me his number. I have never used it, and I never will.
Text him sometime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could. Maybe it'll be like happy, you know, like happy holidays, Merry Christmas, something like that. Yeah.
Well, he was talking when I was driving up. He was talking about how Justin Herbert always texts him when Herbert's on the show. He always texts him to say, thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Mm.
So I feel like this would be and he was so impressed by that. He thought that was just great character. So maybe
you need to start doing that.
To be like, hey, I just want to say thanks for having me on.
It's smart.
Or this send him like a weird GIF.
Yeah.
Like your first message ever to him will be like something.
It's just what's her name? Elaine dancing from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's just a picture of her just like jerking around and kicking her legs. It was just like
your first
complete non sequitur.
Or your first text be like, hey, do you have Joy's number?
That'd be great. Try to get her on our show.
Yeah. I have a lot to talk to her about. Do you mind?
Hey, we'd love to have Joy on our show. Could you
do you know her?
Give us a number?
Well, the reason why he gave me his number is like, if you ever want me on, and I'm just like, okay, you know,
see if it works. It's 3 o'clock right now. Text him.
Text him. He texted you same day.
It's a good point.
3:30.
It's a good point.
I just be like, a fake number like a girl in a club.
Right.
Imagine I call it and it's like, this is the Colin Coward, you know, fake number.
This number is no longer in existence.
It's just that weird music that he plays.
Or no, it used to be one of my buddies got a number at a bar in State College when I was at school at Penn State. And he called the number on speakerphone. He was laughing his ass off because it was truly like a fake number where it went to a paid service that would say, somebody gave you this number because they didn't want you to have theirs.
That's amazing.
It was incredible. It was incredible. I'm so glad that number exists. I had it in my phone for a little while, and then, you know, you change phones. So.
All right. Well, we're just thankful that you showed up.
Well, I'm glad to be here with you.